Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth nor addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Wow, what a passage. Here we have the heart of the Apostle Paul's message to the Galatian churches, overturning that Judaistic religion, that religion of works that had entered in among them and had made its attempt, had done everything it could to pervert the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. There are some things that are quite notable in this passage, especially in the religious climate in which we live today. First of all, in verse 8, the Apostle Paul tells us that God did something for Abraham when God told him, "In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed," and told him that if he believed, that he would be counted righteous. What does the Bible say? What does the Apostle Paul say that God did for Abraham in that day there in Genesis chapter 15? It says that he preached the gospel to him. Now, there are churches galore today. I would say perhaps even a majority of churches that believe the gospel did not come to the world until sometime around AD 40, 35, the day of Pentecost. That's when the gospel really came. The Apostle Paul says no. God preached the gospel to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. It's quite notable in today's religious climate. There are a couple of other things that are notable. That we did not have to wait until certain English Anglican scholars told us how to interpret the phrase works of the law. That really Luther and Calvin and Ritterbos and other great commentaries on the book of Galatians had it right hundreds of years ago. We didn't have to wait for a 20th century scholar from England to tell us what works of law meant. Works of law simply means this. If we attempt to be justified before God by our own works, by the keeping of some particular code. Now let's say it this way. What is the law of God? And what does it mean to be justified? I mean, these are the opening moves, the entrance moves into biblical theology. But what do these terms mean? Let's make sure we understand them, because to err in these things is to err eternally. What is the law? The law is not the Ten Commandments. I know that we often say that, and when we say that, we're speaking shorthand. Because the law really is what we call theologically the moral law. That is, what God requires in human beings, which corresponds to His own perfection. And it's summarized in a couple of different ways in Scripture, right? We have the Ten Commandments, and in the Ten Commandments, we have a summary statement of the moral law. All the other commandments in the Bible can be related to one or more of those Ten Commandments. All that God requires of us can be related to those ten. There's another summary statement, however, in the Scripture. It's called the two commandments, the two great commandments, right? That is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Two great commandments from the lips of our Lord. Another summary of the moral law. Now here's the thing about the law. We don't keep it. I know we can pretend, we can deceive ourselves into thinking that we keep it. We can take other commandments and we can kind of, you know, move them into place instead of God's commandments. And we can keep those. And we can assuage our conscience by that. And we can think we're doing really, really well. And that when we go to heaven, we can say, "Well, God, I was a good person." No such thing. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And on this, what many churches are celebrating is Reformation Sunday. I would be remiss if reading in Galatians chapter 3, we didn't make that summary statement of the gospel, which is this: we cannot be saved by our own works. And the Galatian churches had begun to believe that they could. They had people coming to them that were the errorists of first century Judaism, which had devolved into a religion of works. Now, what the apostle is doing here is he is destroying that model. He's telling the Galatian churches, you know those guys that are coming unto you and they claim to stand in the tradition of the Jewish fathers? They don't stand in the tradition of Abraham, and they don't stand in the tradition of Moses. That's what Paul is telling them. They've got a tradition, all right, but it's against the Bible. It's not the same as the Bible. In order for them to believe and to teach you, Galatian churches, or if anyone today would teach you that you can be saved, that you can be right before God, that God will accept you because you tried hard enough, that God will accept you because your faith was strong enough, that God will accept you because you did a deed, you asked Jesus into your heart, you walked an aisle, you signed a card, you were baptized, whatever the thing is, then what they would do is they would pervert what the Bible says about where salvation truly lies. Salvation truly lies in having a heart that is changed by God so that it leaps forward in faith. And that's it. And the apostle in this chapter sets such an antithesis between believing in Christ and working for Christ, if you will, with regard to your justification, that there is no confusion. The only confusion is in the minds of the willful who want one day to stand before God and put their thumbs in their lapel and say something like this, I did so many good things, you have to receive me in. There's no such thing. You cannot be saved by trusting in your works, by claiming you're a good person, by claiming that you were faithful enough. It just doesn't happen like that. So the apostle makes it very clear that the perversions of the Jewish religion that had obtained in the first century were indeed perversions of the gospel which God preached to Abraham in Genesis 15. Okay, so then the objection comes up. What's the objection? Well, then, why give us any law at all? If it's all through faith and, you know, it doesn't really matter on how we work, if our standing before God depends 100% on faith, then why give us law? Why did God publish the Ten Commandments, Paul? You know, he has a very good answer for that. He says that the law is our schoolmaster. He says the law was published because of transgressions. In other words, there was a time when even the people of God had devolved into an ignorance of what God required. Although as human beings, listen to me very carefully here, as human beings created in the image of God, God has written upon our hearts a knowledge of Himself, a knowledge of His righteousness, that we have this naturally. All that is true. And, you know, I could show you 12 scriptures on that. That what we do is we ignore that. We set it aside. We don't think about it. We don't want to retain God in our knowledge. We certainly don't want to retain His commandments in our knowledge. And so the Lord did something for His people that they needed to have done. And that is that He brought them out of the land of Egypt with a mighty arm, and He brought them to Sinai. And at Sinai, He gathered them around His holy mountain. And from the top of that mountain, by His own voice, the people audibly heard the voice of God speaking out of the mountain in the midst of the fire. And what did they hear? They heard the 10 words. We've already recited them this morning. That's what they heard in their own hearing, voiced by the voice of God Himself, because they had become ignorant of His law. 430 or so years in Egypt had rendered them a people ignorant of God's law. And so what God did for them was something that they needed to have done. so that once again they might remember that there's no such thing as a good person. They might remember that there's no such thing as keeping God's commandments good enough to be accepted by Him. As a matter of fact, at the base of that mountain, you know what the people said to one another? They said, "Man, I hope he doesn't say anything else. I hope he has nothing else to say, because the next word that comes is what? Death. Judgment. You've broken my commandments. I hope he has nothing else to say. He's already said way more than what we can do." And so that's why the apostle here is very careful to tell us in chapter 3 that when God made that promise and that covenant with Abraham, that 430 years when he gave the law, it didn't disannul that promise at all. It made that promise the more real to them. It made that promise more precious to them. It brought them to their knees so that they might trust in God just like Abraham did and be justified by faith and not by works. Galatians 3 is a wonderful chapter that preaches the gospel to us. Not the gospel of you try as hard as you can and God will receive that. As long as you're sincere. I remember the days when I was back in evangelical churches and there was a strong emphasis on sincerity. Now, you're not going to find this pastor downplaying sincerity. We all want sincerity. But brothers and sisters, remember this, you'll never be sincere enough. Because you must be perfectly sincere, and no one is perfectly sincere. We just don't have it. So what the Apostle Paul does here then in chapter 3 is the first thing is he arrests them. He arrests their attention by calling them what? Fools. Fools. Now hear me well. I'm only going to apply what the Apostle Paul says. This is not the word of Todd. This is the word of the Apostle. Listen. Anyone who would come to God for acceptance based on his own doing is a fool. That's what the Apostle Paul says. Don't do it. Don't trust in your own works. There is one who has done perfectly, who has kept every commandment of God in thought, in word, and in deed, personally, perfectly, and perpetually, as a human being, our Lord Jesus Christ. And He's the only one that has kept the law. He is the only one that has met the terms of communion with God, the 10 words, or if you want, the 2 words. He's the only one. And so to trust in Him then, and the Apostle Paul over and again says what? Look at verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Not through works, not through doing. Your doing, it'll never get there. Here's a good illustration that will teach that. I've used it before. We'll use it again. There are 100 people on one side of the Grand Canyon, and you need to get across. And the only way to get across is to get a good running start and make a leap. Now, some, you know, maybe some athletes, you know, Carl Lewis and others, they're going to go a long way. But they're not going to make the other side. And some of us, like me, I'm not going to go nearly as far as Carl Lewis goes. Some of you will jump farther, and some of you will jump less far. But nobody will make it. No one will make it. We can't trust in our works. We can't trust in our doing to be acceptable with God. Now, there's another error that has obtained. And that is that, well, okay, you're right, Pastor. We can't do it. You're right. And so what God does for us is God works in us. And He changes our works so that now we're working and we're keeping the law. No. Our best works are imperfect. and tainted with sin. Listen, when it comes to standing before God on the day of judgment, if we're talking about our works at that time, that's a bad deal. You'll be sent away. In Revelation chapter 20, we read that there are two books at the end of days. Just two. There's the book of life, and then there's the books. The book of life is the book whose names have been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And when we stand before the Lord in that great white throne of judgment, He'll open one of two books. He'll open the book of life, and if your name is found therein, notice that there is nothing there except your name. If your name is found there, you will be received into the highest heaven for eternal communion with God. Paradise. If your name is not found in the book of life, then there'll be another book. That book is closed and set to the side. And of course, these are all metaphors to teach us something. Then there's the books. And those books come over front and center. And everyone who is not found in the book of life is judged out of the books. And that's when our own works are listed out. And everyone, with no exception, everyone who depends for their salvation on being judged out of the books will be disappointed in that day. Only those names that are found in the book of life, that is, those who were chosen by God and sanctified by Him and called by Him and justified by Him and believed in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. Only them. The rest who sought to justify themselves through the works of any kind of law, any kind of code, they're cast into the lake of fire. Now, I don't want any of you, any of us, to be cast into the lake of fire. Believe in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Do not trust in your own works. Do not lean upon the arm of flesh. Trust in Christ. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.